Ladies and gentlemen, not far from here, in the Jewish ghetto of Prague, lived in the 16th century the famous Talmudic scholar Rabbi Löwe, Jew Löwe ben Bezalel, who, according to legend, was the maker, the creator of Golem, the artificial man. One of these legends, much older than the Prague legends from the 13th century, says that the first golem was constructed by one of the biblical prophets who wanted to glorify the creative power of God. On its forehead, the golem had an inscription, Yahweh Elohim Emet, God is truth. However, according to legend, the golem scratched off the letter Aleph and the inscription changed its meaning. Yahweh Elohim Met, God is dead. This is perhaps the first version of this famous phrase, long before Nietzsche. The golem became an uncontrollable destructive force. The golem then became a commentary on this legend, tells the story of the builder of Seville, who taught his art to his two pupils. But when they mastered the art of building, they replaced their master, rendering him useless. The meaning of the story is this: the man who can construct life, who can construct an artificial man, an artificial intelligence, becomes a God creator himself. He makes God, his creator, useless, replaces him, takes him out of the game. God is dead. But progress continues. The animated machine, the artificial life, artificial intelligence, can replace man, his creator, make him useless, take him out of the game. Even Nietzsche knew this. After the death of God comes the end of man. The superman is coming. Will digital technology play the role of superman? Will it become a golem, emancipating from its creator, like man has done? A similar motifs appear in the play by Karel Čapek, the Czech writer, one of the fathers of the science fiction literature. In his play R-U-R, Rozum's Universal Robots, the Czech word robot became international thanks to this play. Robots, artificial people, rebel against people, against mankind. But the end of the play is optimistic. The robots show human feelings, empathy, love. The machine becomes human. Today, we often hear the phrase, machines are beginning to resemble humans, and humans are beginning to resemble machines. We are fascinated by the possibility that artificial intelligence offers humans, but at the same time, there is growing concern about the possibility of its misuse. Will digital technology, this postmodern golem, this superhuman, escape human control? Artificial intelligence is currently the ultimate product of technology, human intelligence, and creativity. It gives us quick and easy access to many of the values that are high on the value ladder of our Western civilization. This brings us to the question of values. In our time, the understanding of reality has undergone a paradigmatic shift from a materiality is reduced to its physics to an information-centered perspective. The convergence of sciences such as quantum physics and neuroscience is leading to a holistic approach that transcends the limitations of materialism. Quantum mechanics introduced the idea that information is the essential component of reality. Information is not just a byproduct of matter, but an intrinsic aspect of fabric of the universe. Information is the most precious article on the global market. Artificial intelligence has the ability to collect and sort information in a way that far exceeds the capacity of human brain. It stands to reason that we will be happy to leave more and more of our activities to the competence of increasingly powerful assistant. Will the master-slave dialectic described by Hegel and Marx emerge in the relationship between humans and digital technology? If we consider performance and efficiency as the driving force of the movement of history, we are already preparing for the domination of technology over humans and acknowledging its legitimacy. The development of digital technology is not only a challenge to consider the future benefits and dangers of its development, but also a challenge to rethink the philosophical question of who is man and what is the proprium humanum, the fundamental pillar of humanity, of human identity. What is that the machine technology cannot do, that we cannot expect it to do, that we cannot delegate to it, that we must not give up, perhaps? These are values that we overlook and underestimate in our fascination with the power of technology. What tends to be highly evaluated about digital technology is an incredible speed with which it responds to our questions and desires. But this is also what I find most suspicious about the artificial intelligence, speed. Artificial intelligence is incapable of what I consider to be the most valuable human quality, to contemplative approach to reality. Artificial intelligence is incapable of pausing, of meditating, of immersing itself in the depths and silence where the transition from quantity to quality takes place. There, something radical new is born. It was a quotation by the Madeleine Albright. It was quoted at the beginning of our meeting, that we should listen to this silent, to this voice from inner. Technology cannot cross the threshold between production and creation, between the problem as a challenge to be solved and a mystery as a challenge to be adored. Technology can provide us with entertainment, but not with joy. It can provide us with knowledge, but not with wisdom. It can provide us with many bases for rational decision-making, but it cannot replace conscience. Perhaps the drama of relationship between man and machine lies in that one letter in the inscription of the golem's forehead, the Aleph. The one letter distinguishes two basic human orientation, two basic attitudes towards reality, which are expressed in two short sentences. God is the truth, and God is dead. The letter Aleph makes the difference between the words truth and death. Nietzsche announced it the time after death of God. Today, we take another step in the same direction. We speak of the death of truth, of a post-truth, post-factual time. In a time of constant change, wars, revolutions, climate change, mixing of cultures, confidence in the great words that marks the core values of our civilizations, including the word truth, has been shaken. We cannot return before this experience. We cannot return to the world of old, unshaken certainties. No ideology, political or religious, no institution, no state or church can claim a monopoly on possessing of truth. Truth, like the other core values of our civilizations, does not live in the unchanging, immovable, platonic realm of ideas. Truth, like the other core values of our civilization, is relational. There are relations. Relationalism and perspectivism are not to be confused with moral relativism and noetic nihilism. They are as far from that as they are from the old metaphysical realism. A relationalist, unlike a relativist, does not doubt the existence and value of truth. However, he doubts in the ability of anyone, including himself, to fully comprehend the truth. His way of seeking truth is self-critical, is a constant self-transcendence, a profound transformation. I'm convinced that what makes a person human, what establishes human identity, is precisely the capacity of self-transcendence, transformation, which the New Testament expressed by the word metanoia, translated as change of mind, repentance, conversion. Metanoia can take various forms. For the robots of Karel Čapek, this self-transcendence was a love of one for another. By this change, the animated machine was transformed into human being. I am convinced that love is the value by which man can imitate God, but by which a golem or artificial intelligence cannot imitate man. Truth cannot be possessive, but it is not possible to resign ourselves to search for it. Meaning, the significance of phenomena or proposition is revealed in context everything we must understand in context. On the path of the search for truth and meaning, we discover ever new and wider contexts, crossing ever new horizons. We must never succumb to the illusion that we have already reached the ultimate goal, the omega point from which we can see the whole, the total context is the eschatological goal. We must be open to this. It is the mystery. It is not what we can manipulate, what we can comprehend. It is a mystery. And because it is a deep mystery, we must acknowledge the liberty of everybody to seek this mystery, this truth, with the capital letter, by his own conscience. Yes, on the way to it, we need eschatological patience. We cannot reach it with a speed. We need the patience. In the Christian tradition, there are three kinds of this patience, this constant openness to the mystery of the whole. It calls them faith, love, and hope. These three virtues were enough for our fathers, and it is good enough for me. Thank you.